You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is like
everything else. They just were too realistic to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand was freaking
out. Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot. Bigfoot lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, feeling good, feeling mellow, yellow, jello. Yes, indeed. Yours truly is feeling very mellow. Got a lot to talk about this evening. All good.
Yeah, we're all up, too.
Hi, brother. How are things with you, Marco?
Great. And we're up full blast here, so.
Well, you know what? If there's a will, there's a way, Marco. And I know there ain't no doubt about it, son. If there's anybody can do it, you can.
Well,
you
maybe.
Can. That's the reason why we're sidekicks, buddy.
Yeah. Well, Tom, how is it going?
I jam when it comes to this radio station stuff. You know that, don't you? By the way, did you hear the good news? Alex Ahern's wife, Eileen, Lily, those who know her call her Lily. Great news. She didn't have to have a stent put in afterwards. After all, goes to show you how screwed up this medical profession is out there. Isn't that a trip?
Well, that's pretty good.
They get in there, they do an angiogram, and they find out that she's clean as a whistle.
Wow. That's
so, you know, it's like a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yes,
but
it
you
is.
Know what? Our love and our prayers have gone out to her and Lily. Just kick back, girl. You're in good shape. Get a little mimosa going, you and Alex. By the way, every Wednesday night is pasta night at the Alex Ahern's house. So he's having a ball. Let's get out to Aunt Jan. Oh, my God. Happy B-Day, girl. Over there in Paris, Texas, the steak man's. Yeah, that's right. I didn't forget, son. Did not forget. Aunt Jan, I can't wait to get back out there for some of them good vittles. My God. Me and the crew had a ton of fun, as they say. And, oh, by the way, Billy Green and my little girl, Connie Gilbert, out there in the in the chat room. Hi, sweetheart. I don't have my horn to give it to you, but Bo out there in Alabama, how you doing, darling? Hope you're doing well, sweetheart. And Becker and the team up there in Washington. Hi, honey. I hope everything is well with you also. Clover Ann, congrats, sweetie pie. You became a grandmama, huh? Proud grandbaby boy, 11 pounds. What a big one. That's a big one. Wow, congrats to mama, okay? And by the way, let me give a little shout out to my sister, Teresa. Remember we talked about the tumors in her mouth and all that other good stuff? Benign, gone, it's over with. Benito, she's clean. Wow, another look on life. The prayers that Father Ray gives out there in New Mexico is incredible. As you guys know, he has a pipeline to the big guy in the sky. But we can't lose with the stuff he uses, can we? Let me tell you something else, folks. The second analysis came back on our find. Came back the same as the first. Now they want to send it out to the Smithsonian. It's just driving me up a wall. But you know what? The more the merrier. Just the more the merrier. And you know what? I want to thank Miss S. Shanna and Eric from the Times publication. They came out Saturday. Non-believers, folks. All more bullshit. They spent the night. They heard the stories. They seen the facts. They saw the evidence. They left. A believer. They know what it's all about. They freaked out. Cover story, October 3rd, 2,000 word story and pictures to come. You're going to go out of your minds, folks. A wonderful story. Kurt Schant up in Sefer Cove, up in Nevada. Thanks, my friend, for support getting our DVD. Also going out to Austin, Texas, to Mike Nacy, bought our DVD. Thank you, Mike. And Bob Kruger, Jefferson County, Kentucky. Hey, Bob, thanks for sending those photos. Blew me away, dude. Send me some more. I want to see what's going on. You know what? Well, you guys have no idea. I thought that the ends of the earth we've seen already. We're out in some territory out there that just blows me away. We're, you know, from the town to the top of the mountain where we're at, we're 21 miles. We're on primitive roads getting to and from. And let me tell you something, the tonneau cover of one of our rigs, it shook so much that the hinges, that the screws, the bolts, the nuts, all came out. We got shit all over the place. I can't believe it. Did you ever feel like you were cruddy and filthy? Well, that's what we're going through, guys. Because we ain't coming home until we got that good news for you. And let me tell you, we got the team on the phone with me, and they're going to discuss it. Can we bring them on, Marco?
Yes, we certainly can. Who all you want on? You want Rob?
Well, get them all on. They're all a part of this team.
Okay.
These people are off the hook. Get JB on first.
JB is coming on. Here's JB. Here's Rob.
Well, hi, Tom. How you doing? Boy, I tell you what, it's kind of wild up here.
Isn't it something else, Bob?
Oh, man. We're out there. We're trying lots of new things. You hear me? That phone's kind of breaking up here. No, we're not in a big town. There's nowhere we're going to get really good reception. And we're here to share what we have found with the audience out there. Let them know what it's like.
Bob, why don't you start it off and tell everybody about things. And about the vocalizations, the monkey sounds.
Well, Tom, you know, this has been absolutely amazing here. We were we're up there. We hear calls from the Forest Service that there's a 350-pound mountain lion running around right about where we are. So we're on edge. We're on edge anyway. And we're listening to every sound and hearing everything, and of course, Leonard Dan there, you know, he's not afraid of anything. So he's out there and he's doing rock chopping and whatever we can do to call this thing in. Sure enough, I'm kind of watching the base camp. These guys are out in the field. You know how we set it up here. And we hear this growl. Leonard calls in and says, I'm hearing something off here growling at me. Sounds like a monkey something. Couldn't really pinpoint it. He says, I'm going to try some rock clapping. Well, he starts some rock clapping. Now, they're about 100 yards off to my left. And 100 yards off to my right, along the same ravine, we get an anther. And starts clapping rocks right on back. You able to hear me? The phone sounds pretty rough here.
You're loud and clear. The thing that my mind... These people, I'm there with you, but it's better hearing it from you, conditions that we have to endure there.
Well, Tom, you know as well as I do. Now, Tom, you got to understand about Tom. He's pretty much a city slicker. He's out here. We have no running water, no bathroom facilities, no nothing. We're staying, they call it a cabin. It's like a tool shed. We're sleeping on the floor, and it's pretty basic, but you know what? We're happy to have it. Happy to have it.
Well, let me ask you this, Java. You know, you've been out on practically all the expeditions with me for the last 5 years. Where do you hold this hot spot in your heart and on your rankings on the scale?
Well, you know, every day that I'm here, Tom, it gets higher and higher and higher. Now, we had to come in, drive in to be on the radio show, and we stopped at a gas station, and the people there, you know, they see the rig and all, and they told us, are you here because of the Bigfoot we have out here? And we said, yes, we are. And they said, oh, man, so many of us have seen it. You know, we know it's there. We can hear it. We can see it. We know that there's a lot of animals out there. We've been filming cats, you know, large cats and javelina and all kinds of animals out there. It's a virtual super highway for these animals back in the area where we're staying. What we're working on now is trying to figure out. Let me see. You know they can get to all the valleys around here. We're trying to map out exactly where all the water is, the best feed and whatnot, and just find the right place. And you know what? I think there's a way better than average chance that this time we're going to come home with one in a box, like in a cage or a bag or something. We're going to do everything we can. We got the tranquilizer gun all loaded and ready to go, and we got the net cannon all pumped up and ready to go. We got all the capture equipment laid out. All we need now is to narrow it down and get to where this thing is the same time it's there.
You know, Bob, you are so right, and I want my audience to understand this, that we're not only doing it for ourselves, we're doing it for you, our supporters that have been with us throughout the years. And we're bound and determined. We're digging in. We've dug in, folks, okay? We've dug in. Tomorrow will be a week. We are there. We're not moving, all right? Our whole motive, our whole MO is to bring one of these things back. And we're going to do it, okay? I've invited you people out there, all you people, all you big looky-loos, all you people that talk smack. Well, you know, you want to come out, you want to be a part of history, give me a call. I have no problem with it. I share what I've got. The rest of you people are nothing but flakes. And I tell it straight up, flakes. And it's not a corn flake neither. We want people that are men. We want people that are women. We want people who are real. Not talk smack. Not sit in front of a computer, forum and blog. That's all they know. You people got much too much time on your hands. You want to get real? You want to get down and dirty? You got an invitation of a lifetime now. You don't have to go out and spend money like these other organizations. You get your ass up there, pay for your own transportation. I'll feed you. I'll drink you. I'll make sure you got some kind of shelter. but you're going to work for that too. So don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. Isn't that the truth, Bob?
Well, you know what, Tom? Let's give everybody a little bit of an example. Do you remember about 3.5 or 4 years ago, you mentioned something like that on the radio, and this guy named Rex Howdyshell showed up. And he saw what we did the first time ever going out there, and that man has been with us ever since. And you know what? That man found what we believe to be the biggest footprint ever found. He found it himself. First time he went out with us.
And that was up there in Happy Camp. You bet. I remember it. It was on Coast to Coast with George Norrie. You know, that was the year that I won the Coastie Award. I was on the show for 12 times until he got his feelings hurt, poor bastard. I feel sorry for him. And but you know what? He could wish that he'd be with us today. But you know what? We've got our own radio show. We've got our own listeners. We've got our own support people. That's all we need. We don't need the flakes. We need the real people, and that's what we got, thank God. Who's next there? Who can we get on the line with us that you
well,
got
hey, Tommy, we got some callers, too, here.
I'll put them on.
Hey, area code 713, you're on Bigfoot Live Radio with Tom Biscardi and team. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just calling in to listen to the show.
Okay, that's okay. Let me get the next caller.
713, what's your name?
Alex Wilcox.
Hey, Alex, how are you, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
Well, we're weather beaten and torn. It's an area, Alex, that is really incredible. You got a picture, you know, from town to the top of the mountain where we're at, and it's the last port of land in this section. It's 21 miles up, and I got to tell you, it's dusty, it's dirty, and the weather is unpredictable. One minute you're going to have a flash flood or lightning, and the next minute it's 95 degrees and you're dying from heat frustration. Then in the middle of the night it drops down to the low 50s, and they're saying it's going to get colder than that. But it's good to hear your voice, son. And did you get the happy birthday I sent you the other day?
Yes, sir. Thank you for that.
God bless you, and keep on listening, son.
I hope y'all get one.
Thank you. We do too. Who else? Marco?
Next caller is area code 936. 936, you're on Bigfoot Live Radio with Tom Biscardi and team.
Oh, hey, guys. I'm just calling in to listen.
Yeah, who is it?
What's that?
Who is it?
Oh, Brian Fuller in Texas.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. Just
thanks for chiming
show.
In, son.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoy it.
Yeah, you enjoy it. Well, I appreciate it. A lot of people enjoy it. You keep your ears tuned in because there's a possibility real soon because we're getting closer and closer. Thanks, Brian. Who else, Marco?
That's it for now. And we got Chief Leonard Dan and Rob Price.
Let's save the best for last. I'm saying that kiddingly, but let's talk to Rob first.
Okay, Rob, go ahead, Rob.
Well, Rob, getting ready there, let me point something out. You know, we seem to be moving down the ravine. You know what I'm talking about, Tom?
Yep.
They're going out towards the reservation out there. I won't give too much detail. And then Dan is making arrangements to get us out there so that we can follow this thing along, just so you're aware. You get a chance to talk to you this afternoon because you were getting ready for the show. So this is
fantastic. So we got him ready?
Ready.
I'm here.
Bob, how you doing, son?
Doing good, Tom. How's it going?
I'm well. Listen, I want you to tell everybody what it's like out here.
Oh, it's great, man. I'm telling you, it's an awesome experience to be up here and be part of this team, part of this group, doing this research. Didn't ask for a more primitive facility, but it seems to be ample enough for all our needs. And the view's great. Food's pretty good. We're cooking everything by campfire.
Well, you know what? You were never lost for words. Thanks so much for talking about the food and weather. Appreciate it. What did you feel like the first night you were there?
Oh, man, it was intense. We got out, and me and Bob set up on top of a ravine that overlooks the bottom of the canyon. And we got up there, and we just made us a little campfire. It got awful cold in the early hours of the morning, but on top of the cliff, the wind was blowing constantly, about 15 to 20 miles an hour. Very chilly. It was kind of a quiet night that night, believe it or not. Things picked up the night after, though.
Yeah, that's the amazing part. Is Chief Dan around?
Yeah, here I am.
Chief, how are you, my brother? How?
Good, I'm doing good.
Listen, I want to thank you for your support, Chief. Share with all our listeners out there when you first heard the rock clapping when they returned back to you.
Well, Rob and I, we were up on this high point just east of our camp, and we were just sitting there, and all of a sudden we heard a growl to our left on the west side of the point there. And we looked at each other, and then we waited a while, and then Rob started kicking the rock together, and no answer, and then... And I gave two big loud claps, you know, big rocks. And that's when we got that answer that Bob heard. And then he said we got an answer to his left. So, and we thought, you know, surely there's a creature around. You know, who else would be up there to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So there is definitely something up there in the mountain, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that comes to mind about it, Chief, is that all the mountain ranges converge onto this one particular place. And that's the thing that blows my mind. So this is kind of like the Bigfoot byway from three or four different states all intertwining into one, where these things are traveling north to south or south to north. It's pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yes. All these drainages, they go down into Grand Canyon. So tomorrow or next day, Rob and I were going to try to go onto the reservation. I found out today that reservation is part of the Navajo reservation. That's a new land that the tribe just bought up. So we have a right to get in there. You know, using my credentials, we can track these ravines and washes to see how far it goes down there. Maybe there's a pond or a lake down in there somewhere where they converge, you know, to get water.
Right, but you know what, Chief? Don't divulge any information anymore. We've got enough right now going on, and I don't want people knowing unless they're part of
it. Yeah, well, you know, that's just...
Exactly.
The worst comes to worst, we'll try something like that.
Yeah, that would be great. All right, well, listen, stay right there. Marco, let's go to a break, would you?
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up and back up.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is sunlight
and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured this.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot. Bigfoot lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And Tom. Back to you, my friend.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, I want to tell my listeners out there, you know, trying to get a hold of us is very... You know, we come in once a day, pick up some ice or provisions, but it's awful tough coming up and down that mountain. Same thing with emails and stuff. We're not privy to any of that, guys. So if you guys could hold off on all that crap right now, I'd appreciate it. Leave a message on the phone, And because we check them every day, maybe sometimes twice a day, and we'll be more than happy to contact everybody as soon as it, you know, when we get into some clear areas. But I want you to understand something. This is our job. This is what we've been prepped to do for a long time. Let me tell you something. We've got the DNA back twice now from two reliable analysis of universities, and we've got something that's unidentifiable. They don't have anything on record. They want to bring it to the Smithsonian next and have at it. Knock yourself out. But we know the bottom line is here, folks. We've done it too many times. And we're digging in, like I say, and the reason why I keep saying it, and the story behind the story is this. We're going to bring it back. We're going to bring it back that we can study this thing and once and for all say, hey, man, it exists. Too many sightings, too much evidence out there to say that it don't. And, you know, the academic world and mainstream America needs to be alerted to this fact. And, oh, by the way, our show, you'll see me and my team next Monday, the 21st of September, 7 p.m. on the Biography Channel Pacific Time. The show's called Strange. Now, I think we're one of three stories, and I think we started off. So they're not running the full hour. I think it's 20 minutes apiece. There's three different stories. It's supposed to be people of the most incredible type people in the world, and we happen to fit in that range, nomenclature. Keep your fingers crossed, guys, because we're hoping that the large producers and large studios pick this up for a weekly show, and we just may be in that local share of prominence. And I hope so, because not many people have seen this. You'll see Roger Peterson. You'll see the Snake Man. He was in it. My normal crew. There was 25 guys out there and gals at that time. We had a small army. They called it a small army. And I'm very proud of it because it all hits next Monday. You know, we're how many days away? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. 5 days away and counting. And Pacific Standard Time, we go on at 7 p.m. Biography Channel. So therefore, if you're listening on the East Coast, it's 10 p.m. And then take Mountain Time and Central Time. You know what it is. Do the math. But I'm going to tell you this. You're going to see the real Bigfoot people, not the bullshit in somebody's backyard. You're going to see us in Texas, folks, doing what we know how to do best. So I suggest mark it on your calendars, and you'll get to see what we know how to do best. I really look forward to your comments on the show also. You know, Bob, are you there?
You bet.
I'll tell you something. We're so honored and blessed to have met so many beautiful people across this country who've supported us, who've been with us, and through all the trials and tribulations has been by our side to the never-ending, lasting end where we at now. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely, Tom. Some of these people have been they've opened their hearts for us. They've shared their stories with us. So one for all these people out here supporting us the way they do and giving us this information so that we know where to go to look for these things, to research this stuff, to give us a belief, we'd be lost. We're just totally glad I've met and made so many friends all across this great land of ours.
And, you know, Bob, I got to tell you this. You know, it's just like people like Alex Ahern. Alex, his poor wife was going in for a stent procedure today. And thank God we know that the outcome was. It was a false alarm.
Yeah.
Okay? But he was there with us last weekend. He took from his family life, from comforting his wife, to be out there with us. He's coming back out again this weekend. I understand Wes from Four Corners is coming out. You know, these are people who are devoted fans. These are people who are devoted supporters. These are people who believe. These are people that don't sit on their ass in front of a computer, but they get out and get things done. These are our kind of people, Bob.
You're still right, Tom. And, you know, the one thread that always comes out when these people get the opportunity to come out with us, I hear the same thing every time. I can't believe that you guys roll like that. I can't believe that you guys do the things you do. And you know what? Every one of those people want to go out with us again. Every single one of them. Because they see things they never knew existed. Because, Tom, you're able to cut through all the stuff, bring us right to where it needs to be. You know what to look for. You're willing to teach people and show people. And everyone goes out and learns something new, and they just get hooked. They're just in shock when they find out what's out there. The evidence that's available if you know where to look. And thank you for sharing that with us. That's how I got involved, and I'm still here. And I'm going to be here until we can hold this thing up with our arms around it. You and I can stand next to it, get a picture taken. How's that?
You know what, Bob? And I hope it's real soon. Bob, I want you to share with our listeners, because you do it so eloquently. You are so articulate when it comes to the King's English. Be kind enough, Bob, and tell everybody about the handprint on the window, because it blew me away. It blew the people from Times Publications away and everybody else that's seen it. But do it in your most eloquent way, would you?
I'll do the best I can, Tom, because words can't describe what we saw there. You know, this almost has a cabin. You call it a cabin. It's really more like a tool shed, but it does have some windows in it. And in one of these windows, he said, while I was building this shed, which is about, there's a deck right outside the window, which is about 4 feet off the ground. And this window then is another 4 feet from the deck. And this thing came in, he said, it cupped its hands and looked inside the window, put a hand on the window, and cupped the other hand alongside of it. And he covered it with a screen so it wouldn't be bothered and left it there for us to see. Now, this handprint, some amazing things about this handprint. First of all, like our hand of unknown origin, you remember when the chiropractor, the doctor, the good doctor, x-rayed it, and he said he was surprised to find that the bones in what would be our smallest finger was bigger, larger than the index finger. Well, that's what this handprint shows, just like a cast that you have of those handprints. That finger is as large as the index finger.
Stop right there. Now I want you, you just brought up something. You just opened Pandora's box, son. When you just talk about the hand that and the fingers that we have, now you know the real truth, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay?
Yes, I do. And I've seen them all this time, and now it's like a light bulb went off when I see them now.
Because I noticed how it blew your mind to see those prints on that window off that film of dirt and soot. And when you saw thickness, I know that your memory bank went right back to the handprint that we got back in the 70s.
That's correct. That's correct. As a matter of fact, if you recall, you just lent me that handprint to do some studies on, and I have it at my house.
I know you've got it right now because you're going to do it with your book signing coming up. But here's the thing, Bob. When that woman from the editor from the Times publication and the photography guy, did you notice their faces when they saw that stuff?
Oh, Tom, they were so excited. You know what they said to me? I think you probably were there when she said it to me. She said, you know, I was very skeptical when I came out here, but seeing what you have, seeing this thing in the window, seeing all this stuff, I'm a believer now.
That's what happened. I brought that up earlier. You know, they were skeptics before they came. And then when they spent the night and all of us and went through the whole scenario, they just freaked out and couldn't believe what they had seen with their own eyes, and they walked away a believer, as so many people do.
Now, Tom, I want to add a little bit about this, about what was on the window. We're trying to figure out a way to lift that, to save it somehow, and so far we can't find a way to do it successfully. We don't want to risk losing it, so we have it covered. But we did find, we walked out some of the line, and I took some pictures with my camera, and on one of them where the face was, you can clearly see the pattern in the hair on the face of this creature, like a beard. It's very obvious. And I haven't been able to get those out to where I can show them to anyone yet. But Tom, we'll make a decision what we'll do with them. But very clearly, you can see the hair patterns from the face. You can see the fingers. And you can see the dermal ridges on some of the fingers. And the dermal ridges don't run the same way they do on a human's hand. This is not a human handprint.
And that's the thing that blew me away. I freaked out myself, my first thought, because it was deja vu all over again, circa 1973. 36 years ago, when I had the first print, which we have a Plaster of Paris cast in, which Dr. Grover Krantz from Pullman, Washington, the anthropologist, and all of his work is over there in the Smithsonian Institute. And it just blows me away that here, after 36 years, it's coming to light one more time.
Absolutely, absolutely. I hear all these pieces from you, Tom, and they all get stored in my head. And the more we search, the more we find that verifies everything you've ever told me. Every single thing. I find as I look, because I started as a skeptic too, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Everything I find now, you'll tell me something and I'll question you about it. You'll say, you said to me, Bob, I can only tell you what it is what it is. What you think it should be and what it is may not be the same thing. But what it is what it is. And as I continue to research, as I continue to get out in the field, as I personally see this physical evidence, everything that you told me has been proven to be correct.
So let me ask you this, Bob, okay? What do you say to these mainstream American so-called pseudo-associate professors, because they got this PhD, and I don't know what PhD means except for post-hole digger, that come out and say that this, that, and the other thing, and the work that we do isn't so good. What do you say to people like that?
Well, it's pretty obvious to me that they're not out looking, because if they were, they'd know it too. You know, it's really easy to have an opinion about something if you don't know anything about it. It's a little more difficult to have an opinion about something when you find out what the truth is. And, you know, I don't know what to say about them except... I've seen these things on TV and everything where they go out and something starts throwing rocks at them and they bury themselves in the house. What do we do, Tom? They throw rocks at us. We go out of families and we run towards the rock thrower.
You bet. And you know what? Well put, Bobby. I mean, it's a true story. They're out looking for Bigfoot. They find Bigfoot and Bigfoot starts throwing boulders at them. And they go in under the protection of a cabin instead of going back after the creature. Something's not right with this thing. I guess that they've had too much schooling. What do you think?
Well, you know, I've always heard it said that education can be a poor excuse for brave. Not it is, but it can be. So if you have education and you have some brains, that's the best. If you just have education and you don't know how to use it, that's dangerous.
You know, I got to tell you something, Bob. Before we're going to bring on Linda. Linda's going to come on. She's got a conspiracy factor here about a lot of these cows that have been dismembered and stuff surgically, incidentally. And they were trying to blame it on some animals, whether it be a large cat, big feet, or it's a cover-up with the military. But before we do that, I want to bring back Chief Leonard Dan. Chief, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Chief, you know, I've had a lot of questions from our listeners, and they say, Tom, why do you keep on bringing Chief Leonard Dan with you? Does he have some expertise more so than the other guys? And I said, yes, he does. This man was reared with these creatures virtually. He knows the creatures of the land. He has a high sensitivity to smell, a keen learning ability to the wild, and he knows what travels at night. He can pick it up. He's got a keen sight, a keen ear, and a keen smell. What more can you add to that, Chief?
That's about it. I can, you know, go out into the forest and I can feel the mountain spirits all around me, like the tree spirits or the plants, animals. Animals especially, I can, you know, sense that they're around me, watching me. So I kind of do it like what they do. If you see a deer running.
Can I add to that? I hate to interrupt, but real quickly, I want people to understand that Leonard Dan was raised in the old way of the Dene people. He was raised in the old way, but he's an educated man. This man is a degree geologist, so he has the understanding of both cultures. He's an intelligent, highly educated man who's raised in the old ways, and they're just throwing people like that around.
You know, Bob, that's what it's all about. It's the old school intuitiveness. And, you know, I was saying tonight to myself, there's a good old boy, the richest man in the world, John D. MacArthur. And he says, substance, okay? The last man that survives, and don't quit. That's the key. Don't be a quitter. You have fortitude and go forward. And as long as you can do that, you'll be the last man standing and you'll have the smile on your face. And that's what it's all about. And I want to tell you something. It's such an honor to have you aboard with us, Chief. You have no idea. And when the call came out, you didn't have to think about it. You said, I'm there. Count me in. It means so much to me, partner. You have no clue. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart one more time. Listen, fellas, we're up for an exciting last part here. Marco, let's go to commercial. Then after that, let's bring Linda on, okay?
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is sunlight
and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand
was
freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And here we go, Tom and Linda. You're on there.
Hey, Linda, you out there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, everyone. I haven't been listening to the whole thing, but I got in here about 10 minutes ago, and I agree with whoever was speaking. You know, I'm not remembering all the names or anything. Sorry about that at this point because I'm not a regular, but with people's credibility and not believing, like, the handprint or whatever evidence, you know, it's right there in their faces. And I think what has to happen is with my first sighting when I was a child, I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what that was. And then growing up in the South, you know, boogeymen's under the bed and stay in your bed, don't come out of your bed at night and just all kinds of things. And then you reach a stage where, you know, when I was older and had a sighting, that was such a shock to my flesh. It was such a shock to my reality. There's this creature that is what? Standing next to this tree with fangs. The one had fangs and it was up the hill and it was on a Ute, Native Indian trail in Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs, you know, that I frequented. And I was there at night, and so the movement, if it hadn't moved, I wouldn't have seen it in my headlights, number one. So every single sighting, they intend, I believe, for the most part, except for like if they're crossing the street and you happen to see, or, you know, the road or highway, something like that, you can happen to come upon them. But for the most part, I believe they intend for us to see them, you know. It didn't need to move. I wouldn't have seen it. It did finally move and did a pose, and showed fangs, that particular one, and it was huge. Later I asked a rock ranger, how tall is that tree? And so it was a huge one in Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs. And Garden of the Gods, when, you know, as I frequented the place and lived there longer and got more comfortable and knew about it before this sighting, you know, hiking and going there alone and all that, which now I feel very uncomfortable hiking alone, knowing what's out there, you know. But it was a shock to my flesh, and it took me some time and some other experiences to integrate that into my comprehension and deal with it, you know, to deal with it, because it's just too shocking. And yet, as a child, I'd had seen one of them in the Okeepanoke Swamp one day, playing outside when my parents were inside with the friends they were visiting, and it didn't, you know, run away with me or hurt me or do anything like that. That one, the other one, the posture it did, and then it took off. It moved so fast, it was just incredible. And then talking with someone, he's deceased now, Richard Greenwell, who was a cryptozoologist and head of the International Cryptozoological Foundation out of Tucson, Arizona, while he was alive and did tremendous work and research in the field. Anyway, having conversations with him as a sounding board, like I call Tom from time to time, or other Bigfoot hunters, you know, in my area, just to talk to someone, because it is, it's startling and shocking. Even those of us that know this is a reality, you know, we know it's a reality. We know it's real. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time before it's uncovered and discovered. And for me, I hope it's in a way that is done humanely and with respect and regard. I felt like myself, I called Tom originally from Colorado in the high country there, and there was sightings that were happening with me living in the wilderness, like in Snowmass Village and Aspen, up in these ski resort areas, are surrounded by wilderness. They're in the high, high country, and even though there's people right there in the midst and it's a little civilization, it's all kinds of just wild wilderness up there, so anything can roam through and does roam through, you know, and stuff. And then learning to see signs of them. They like golf courses, of all things. They watch our children play ball games. I've found areas where the brush or the scrub oak and the grass and stuff is smashed down. Something big and huge has slept there. And then the beds that they make, you know, people made fun of me, but I'm not looking to publish or to become famous or to convince people. But, you know, when I first interfaced to find Tom, the person I called was some kind of person out in the northeast area, I think, of our country, and his wife was who I spoke with. She told me he doesn't tell anyone, you know, how did you find us, blah, 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 all this stuff. And then, you know, because people are scared, because then it's like, or there's trepidation and fear and concern because the general population thinks we're nuts to talk about Bigfoot like it's real. But once you've seen these creatures, you know, and it's documented, it's been seen over time, different continents, they're called Nandi bears in China, you know, Yeti, and different sizes and different types, hominoids and hominids, you know. I think they've got it kind of backwards there. I think the hominoids should be the ones that are more human-like, but I agree with what he said. What I wanted to bring up tonight is I'm doing some research on cattle mutilations and really just beginning it. But Tom and I talked a little bit earlier, and in these news articles back in, you know, on Tom's thing, he says in 1967 he first felt, you know, this and knew about Bigfoot and started that process in him of becoming Bigfoot hunter and continuing all these years in spite of not yet uncovering and finding it, and how many cryptozoologists have continued, how many people have continued, and it's good. It's good, I think, that we do. But
let me ask Linda, if I can, okay?
No,
got you subject with me. When you said how many other cryptozoologists, how many real cryptozoologists are out there in the field is the big question, okay? And I think you know that yourself, okay? There's a lot of them that can Mac. There's a lot of them that can type those keys on the computer. There's a lot of them that do all their work on a computer or on a phone. Very few that I know of that are out there on a 24/7 basis doing what me and my team do.
Right. And that's the reason why I turn to the hunters, because it seems like there's been a diminishing in it. And I had an email argument with one of them. I'm not going to say his name. But when I was in Snowmass and having all these sightings or these encounters, actually, they really were encounters, because, like I said, I was very much noticing they were allowing me to see them and validate the sighting, even hanging around, but not us approaching each other, thank God, you know, or whatever, and me hiking off trail alone or somewhere, you know, in the village at night or dusk or early morning hours or something, walking to the bus station or whatever, you know. And, oh, man, one footprint that these kids told me about after the snow was melting and I went and saw it was so huge. It's like, this has got to be a Fear Lag Moor. This has got to be the Scottish Grey Man, really, really big one. And it's interesting, in Snowmass Village, they have this, like, 18-foot chair, like a Bigfoot could sit down in it, a big Bigfoot, you know. So, and they had different incidents happen, like two men were hiking on the original Snowmass Mountain, not the Snowmass ski area is not on Snowmass Mountain. Snowmass Mountain is further in, kind of in some wilderness area with, I think, a little lake or something up there. And there was a death, two hikers, and the one was like, how did he fall over this ledge and land in this spot and die? You know, the other one, they got separated or something. And what, you know, just the whole thing was real eerie. And I thought, wow, what if something came upon him and threw him down there, you know, because it was in his territory or something like that. And then a girl was missing hiking. That's how I originally contacted Tom, through Becky, through this other man, and said, you know, I need to call in some hunters, because when people are missing, you know, maybe there's a search party that could be put together. Maybe, you know, Tom Biscardi and somebody would want to come up here and try to find this girl, you know, that went missing.
Linda, hold on. Time for a minute, because we only have about 5 minutes left. And then I appreciate you saying all these kind words. I want our listeners to know something out there, first of all. You know, when you go on an expedition today, it doesn't cost 2 cents, okay? It costs a lot of money, okay? It's easy for people to say, come on out. You know, when we infer it, especially the interns or the understudies today, when before it ever gets to me, they try to decipher the wheat from the shaft. And then they'll say to me, Mr. B, I think this is a real one. You need to talk to these people. And then, of course, it gets on. You know, we build a relationship when we go on. It's just like where we're at now on this man's property. But I want you to understand, it's not an easy task. It seems, and you're hearing something that it seems easy, it looks easy when you see us on film, but you have no idea the trials and tribulations that we have to go through, i.e. getting to a hot spot, preparing for the hot spot, maintaining while we're there during the hot spot, and making sure the psychological drama is under wraps and kept in some type of profile, that all of us don't go insane, to be, for lack of a better word, which is the truth. You have no idea. This is, you know, some situations that it's hurry up and wait, okay? And you have no idea how a 4 or 5 hour span of time during the night seems like it's gone for days, because you're trying to concentrate with the recorders, the bionic ears and things, and every little sound gets the sound alike after a while, okay? So it's a tough job. People think, oh, it's so easy. All you do is you come out in the woods and there's a Bigfoot, okay? Wrong. These are smart creatures. Remember, they've evolved for a long time. They've been out there for six centuries, for crying out loud, that I remember. And they're still going strong. Still nobody's brought one back, have they? The closest anybody has brought it in, though, was with me and my team, because we're out there doing it, and that's what it's all about. You've got 2 minutes, Linda. Go on the conspiracy about our military with these cows.
Not necessarily the military, but definitely with these articles, the early articles I'm reading, the first mutilation was a horse renamed Snippy. They renamed the horse, I think. And then there's been a buffalo, but mostly it's been cattle. And, in waves, it seems, you know, at times across the United States. But there's one real good thing captured here. This person that was being interviewed was alleging that tranquilizers were used to calm the cattle. And different things. And this was supported by certain veterinarians, yet the ranchers and the law enforcement, and then at a certain point the FBI at different points in time have entered into it. And the ATF, the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms people, you know, too, tried to help for a stretch of time to really solve the cattle mutilations, because, you know, it's not all the cattle, but it's just the weirdness of it, and then pinning it on that it's a cult group, that it's humans, and arguing that it's predators. Okay, come on. You know, they don't have surgical instruments, and they're not excising the sex organs and certain parts of the body that are sort of weird to be taking out of the animal. They found certain of the cattle that were diseased, like with black legs.
1 minute, Tom.
1 minute?
Go ahead, Linda.
I need 30 seconds to close the show.
So,
it's mainly humans. It's some kind of humans, cryptid, extraterrestrial, something intelligent with surgical instruments, doctors. I would say surgeons, you know,
well,
doctors.
Surgeons, believe me, aren't Bigfoot. I'm sure you agree with me. So it's something, is some type of covert operation going on somewhere in this country.
Right, it's happening all
over this country. Linda, it's always a joy to have you with us. God bless you. We'll have you on again. Be well, my dear. Here, there, and everywhere. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody
turned
manufactured
this. The hand was
jumped into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. It's a movie
right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team, for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in.
This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot Live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster Nation mysteries, legend.